You are now listening to LFL Talk with Adri and Marcus.
Hello and welcome to episode 8 of LFL Talk. I'm your host, Adri Mallows. Joining me, as always, is my ever-present and ever-awesome co-host, Mr. Marcus Henson. How are you, buddy?
Hey! Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Good, good. Trying to give you the big build-ups on both of our podcasts, because you know what? You deserve it. You do a grand job, sir, if I've never said so before myself.
Oh, stop it. You make me blush.
Well, are you sure that's not just the makeup? You're looking at yourself in the mirror there. Started to spread some malicious
comments.
Yeah, exactly. Indeed. So, moving swiftly on, how have you been since our last podcast, sir?
Good. I'm trying to think what was happening in the last podcast. The team down here is growing from strength to strength, going very quick. Lots and lots of stuff happening. Oh, it's like moving at 100 miles, but I'm loving it.
Excellent. Well, without further ado, let us crack on with some LFL news.
Here is the news.
The big story out of the LFL since our last podcast, I'm sure those of you who are on the ball would realise that October the 11th was due to be the kickoff of Season 2 of LFL Australia, but unfortunately, due to the lack of a TV deal, there is no LFL Australia Season 2. Quite disappointed about that. I know there are things that are outside of people's control and not quite sure there wasn't a TV company that wanted to give this great sport a TV deal, Marcus.
It looked almost like lots of pieces were in place. Great turnout and sort of attendance last year.
Yeah, very surprising. And you say there about the attendance, they were getting sort of between 3,000 to 6,000 people, weren't they, in the stadiums, which, you know, is quite a lot more than perhaps some of the LFL US teams get. I think I'm wondering if maybe if it was a perception thing, because unless people actually spend the time out and actually go to the games, we know from when we interviewed Rachel earlier in the year that the perception does seem to be thinking it's just a bunch of girls running around in underwear, whereas those of us that actually pay attention and watch the sport know it's as far away from that as you can get. There's hits galore, they understand American football, the skill levels are coming along, and it's just developing into one of the best sports, and possibly, you know, it's one of my favourite sports, if not my favourite. It's getting very, very close to NFL in my eyes at the moment.
I guess it is one of those ones where, unfortunately, it has got a big shadow looming over it, where the negative will always sort of be seen before people can dig out and find the creativity and the positivity underneath it. But I assume that, like you, many people, if they give it a chance, will like this or love it even.
Yeah, 100%. I think all they need to do is open their eyes, go out there, speak to some of the players, you know, have a look on YouTube, have a look at some of the games, have a look at some of the wow clips, the footage and everything there is out there on the LFL YouTube channel, a link to which, as always, is in our show notes, and just see that behind what you think isn't a great sport, you know, the passion's there, the athleticism's there, the intelligence of the players is there. As I'll keep harping on about it, just I challenge anyone who may come across this podcast by chance, go out there, speak to the players, whether it be on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, just go out there, find a player, have a conversation with them, and you will realise that this sport, there is a lot more to it than that. But as I say, it's very sort of sad news that we won't have a season two this year. But on that front as well, I kind of feel a little bit for the players who have made the trip out from America out to Australia to have the season unfortunately cancelled 2 weeks before the start of the season.
Yeah, and it looked like it was going to be a great sort of import season. There was lots of talent lined up. Cindy was out there. I think Danica was out there. There was a couple more.
Yeah, your mate KK Matheny was out there, Sage Steinmetz, and in that already you've got two MVP candidates. In fact, I believe Sage did actually win the league MVP, if I'm not mistaken, and a Rookie of the Year contender, Cindy Cummings, as well.
Yeah, so it was going to be a wash with actually great thing. And of course, we were looking to see the new team as well, Adelaide, Arsenal, see what they had to contend with.
On that front, with the players, there may be an opportunity for them to get some football while they're out in Australia, but for more on that news and what there is out there as a possible filler or replacement, however you want to see it, that's really for them to work out amongst themselves. Go to our Women of the Gridiron page and you will see the latest news there from another league in Australia. Now, you may remember back to a couple of podcasts ago where we were talking about how the franchise is looking to take on some global partners financially, and it's sort of splitting into the three areas of LFL Europa, LFL North America, and LFL Oceania. And well, LFL Oceania will be holding open tryouts nationally in January 2015. So they'll be looking to bring in a lot more talent into the league, looking forward to next year, which we should then hopefully have the second season of LFL Australia.
When you open up a tryout, something like this, you know, there's a lot of women out there who want to try the sport. I mean, I've encouraged that even in over here with our flag American football, is that it's just the opportunities. Give someone an opportunity, they never know what talent and skill they have until they're given that opportunity. So I think it's a great access there.
Absolutely. I'm always all behind the open tryouts and the players out there recruiting as much as they can as well. Finally, quite a big thing for viewers here in the UK. Now, we know that LFL was available on Satanta Sports, which in the UK was something you could get online. Obviously, in Ireland, it is a channel you can watch on TV or on pay-per-view TV, as it were. LFL have also signed a deal with the Extreme Sports Channel, which is free on Sky to Sky subscribers. And that is, as I say, on the Extreme Sports Channel. At the moment, it's currently channel 419, I believe. I'm sure that will change at some point throughout the year, if not in the next few days, because you know what Sky are like in updating their channel numbers. But great news anyway.
Sorry for the interruption, folks. This is the producer speaking. I can confirm that Extreme Sports Channel can be found on Sky Sports on channel 419 and on Virgin Media 527. Thank you.
Yeah, and it's through access on TV that, you know, more people can experience sport, watch it. It's only got to be a good thing. If there's a greater exposure, it means there's more chance for people to engage with the sport and actually see it for what it truly is.
Absolutely. And on that note, we will leave the news there.
This is Tony from Delicious in Hemel. If you like a bit of banter with your sandwiches, then come on down to us. We do baguettes, ciabattas, paninis. We can even discuss the LFL with you. So why don't you come and give us a try? And if you want some more details of our menu, see the links on the Legends Lounge page.
Now we come on to our Legends Cup review. Firstly, I just want to apologise for the delay in getting this podcast out to you. We obviously normally try and get the podcast out in the first week of the month, but unfortunately, it's been quite a busy month with our other projects, namely our weekly NFL blog, as the season's now 6 weeks in for that. And with that also comes our other podcast, Spitball, both of which you can find on our website. That's www.ballhawksnest.com. So if you're also a fan of the NFL as well as the LFL, then please do go and check out our other features on there. Apologies aside, Marcus, the Legends Cup played back on the 6th of September between Chicago Bliss and the Atlanta Steam. Now, going into the game, a lot of us, including Coach Hack and most of the Chicago Bliss players, thought that this was going to be a walkover for them. Boy, did they get a bit of a shake-up and a wake-up call, particularly in that first quarter, Marcus.
Everyone, I think, had them Atlanta as underdogs, and very heavily pointed underdogs, I think. I think there was a mention that there was something silly, like there was a good sort of 28-point swing on the whole sort of Vegas money line. So that's how favorited they were. But it wasn't the fact that they came out so much allowing themselves to come out and perform to their best, because the problem with the Bliss has always been that they play great, but silly mistakes hampered the entire season. And it almost looked like it was going to come back and haunt them in the final.
Absolutely. And you're referring there, of course, to they had a fumble in the first half on a toss play from Heather Furr to Christel Harris, which I think they managed to just about recover. But they also had a Heather Furr interception when they were deep in the Atlanta half as well. The one criticism I would say of them at times, and I'm sure you would agree, that they have a tendency to shoot themselves in the foot, don't they, with these mistakes?
Like you say, the ones that happen deep into enemy territory, they're the ones that you just can't rectify, because, of course, you then turn the possibility of points in your favour back against you with your opponent.
And to be fair, I think they were quite lucky that they've got such a great defence, because at one point, because of penalties, Atlanta had 8 plays with the distance of to goal to go, so within the 10 yards of scoring, and Chicago managed to keep them out for 8 straight plays. That defence, Marcus, is just unbelievable. Is it not?
I believe someone said at the beginning of the year they looked like the best defensive line in football, and they backed up my argument. Thank you. Got my back there.
Oh, so yeah. I have to credit where credit's due there. You did say that they were probably they did say they were the best defence in the LFL at the moment. And yeah, that whole defensive line, even without Shari Onley, who they lost through injury, what can you say about Yashi Rice, Chantel Taylor, just rushing off the edge, all the way through that defence, really, with Kim Perez as well, Heather Furr and Ali Albert at safety. And I will come on to this a little bit later as well, but I don't think after those last couple of games she had, we can forget about Dominique Collins.
No, and of course, shoring up the deep threat, which was always going to be a trouble coming off the fact, is that we knew that Atlanta were always going to have the deep play ability.
Yeah, and that showed as well. I mean, if we kind of jump forward a little bit to later on in the game, when Chicago had managed to get a couple of touchdowns ahead in the second half off the back of Christel Harris and just phenomenal running. Yeah, managed to get back in the game with that deep pass to Jody Nettles right deep in the bottom of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there when you said amazing running by Christel Ferrari Harris. But it was definitely, the fact is that you couldn't ever count them out. At no point really did I feel comfortable saying that the Bliss had this game sewn up. Now, I love the idea of the out-coaching by Coach Hack, getting them to sort of hone in to the sort of the inner huddle. As to Curtis Hughes, they couldn't get that sideline signalling system down in time.
Well, that's it. And when you say hone in, what you actually mean is blatantly go over there and stand at the Atlanta sideline next to Dakota Hughes while they try and give her a play. Because there's nothing in the rules that says that they can't do it. So it's, part of me sees it as two things. It's kind of bad sportsmanship, but it's great gamesmanship at the same time. It's a tricky one for me. It's kind of like on a seesaw. It's like, what do I appreciate more, good sportsmanship or, you know, gamesmanship to win like that? Because if there's nothing in the rules, then in theory you can exploit it in that way. And, you know, ultimately next year, let's just hope that Coach Robinson has a way of giving Dakota plays without making her come over to the sideline every time.
Yeah, I'm sure that's implemented game plan number one. That is there. But yeah, it is a tricky sort of moral issue there. It's that sense. But allowing the fact that people, you know, you consider football as that real life, live action chess match with people as the pieces, you have to sit there and say, Coach Hack, even though we saw the intensity from Coach Robinson and the fact that he had every single one of his players believing up to the end, even the last sort of ditched play where we get the ball back, miracle could happen. Still, I was honestly convinced every single Atlanta player believed, even down until the triple zeros on the game clock.
Yeah, 100%. And thinking of that with the onside kick, Coach Hack and his coach, well, it's going to sound really bad saying Coach Hack and his coaching, but that's kind of what I have to say, and his game awareness, when it came to that onside kick, what did he tell his players? He said, first line, go out, hit that wave of Atlanta players coming for the ball. Second wave, you're going to dive on the ball. So you know Atlanta are going to be coming for the ball. So don't worry about trying to recover. Just smash them out of the way and leave the players behind you to recover it, which is great coaching.
He really brings that hunger to win to the game. And he's sort of like, they say great chess champions can think 5 moves ahead. And he's doing that, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think not only do Chicago have a great deal of talent on that team, but Coach Hack is making a massive difference there. And as long as he stays in Chicago, you just have that feeling that they're going to continue to win championships, really.
And yeah, and when you say great talent, we can't go without really mentioning, because we haven't really mentioned much about Christel, the Ferrari Harris. I mean, wow.
you know, as it's the end of season show, we may or may not be doing some awards where we may or may not be talking about her quite a lot. So, so yeah, I'm sure she may or may not may work her way in. So, just to finish up, really, last thing I wanted to come on, the only thing I wasn't quite sure what was happening during the game is right at the end, Ali Albert seemed to flare up a little bit, and not quite sure why, to a point where Coach Ack ended up benching her for the last few plays.
Yeah, absolutely. That really confused me because, of course, the camera caught full wind of it as well. But then you saw the celebrations post-game, and absolutely, she was celebrating with everyone else, so it must have just been a heat-of-the-moment thing.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, to be fair, we all get those, don't we? And I'm sure, Marcus, you'll remember my moments from our so-called friendly matches on Sunday for the flag team. So, yes, I can quite understand how people get caught up in the moment. Last thing I want to say then about the Legends Cup final itself, a very close match, which Chicago won 24-18. But the refs, hate to come back to it because I know we talk about it on our other podcast as well, but the officiating in the final unfortunately did leave a lot to be desired, with Chicago going for 2-point attempts with it being marked at the 1 yard line, which is where they try the extra points from, just as a start.
Yeah, it was problem was, I don't know, you would expect you get your best refs to do the final, but I don't know where they managed to pick these ones up from.
Yeah, indeed. And on that note, we move on with the show.
The world's fastest growing sport arrives to YouTube. Legends Football League.
Break their confidence. Keep breaking their confidence. They've got nothing. They want to brawl. They don't want to play football.
Intensity. Beauty. Subscribe to this channel and gain access into locker rooms. Inside the huddle.
Every other time they run to the outside and they keep getting it.
Get to know your favorite players.
The one thing I want to do is just make everyone happy. Give 100%.
And full-length games in high definition. Subscribe and never miss out on LFL action.
Now we move on with the show, and as it's the end of the season, I think only fitting that we should come back to the annual awards. Now, we mentioned in our last podcast who we thought should get the official nominations, but I thought, as we're our own podcast, let's make them official and give out our own winners of some of the awards from this year. So we have our award, which is for our Offensive Player of the Year. We have a Mr.
Ray Lewis
award for our Defensive Player of the Year. I introduced last year, at the end of the LFL Australia season, a new award. Firstly, because there was a player that rightly deserved to win an award and a mention, and also because I think only fair to mention the work of the offensive lineman and name it after one of the great Steel Curtain offensive linemen, Mike Webster. So we have our Mike Webster award for offensive line, and finally our Rookie of the Year. So of those, Marcus, where would you like to start?
I think the first one to start off with would probably be, why not start off with the youngest and start off with the Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, that's completely fair by me. So let's start, shall we, with some of our runners-up, people who we think deserve an honourable mention for the great seasons they've had. The first name I want to mention, because quite bummed that she didn't actually win the award, to be honest with you, because I thought of all the players, defensively, she was everywhere, always showed a great determination, a great passion, and a great tackling ability. And that is, of course, Lily Granston from the Seattle Mist.
She's become a firm favourite of yours, I must admit.
Well, yeah, you know, being a defensive player myself, I'm quite keen to see people who form tackle, because you see a lot of tackling, even in the NFL, you see a lot of tackling where people are just trying to smash people out of the way, but the great form tackles where they put their body on the line, they wrap up and they make sure the offensive player or running back, receiver, whoever ends up hitting the deck. So I don't know that we can deny how great a season she's had and how great a tackler she is.
Yeah, there's a natural skill there. It's not something you just become good at, you know, to throw your body on the line and make sure that, you know, the aggression that goes into the tackles, you can't train that. You've got it or you don't.
Absolutely. And being a cornerback, I'm sure you would appreciate her skill as well. A fellow cornerback, should I say.
Yes.
Also then, favourable mention-wise, shall we say, rather than runners-up. Marcus, who else would you have in this honourable mention section?
I think another honourable mention for Rookie of the Year would have to go down to Dakota Hughes down in Atlanta.
Absolutely. Now, we know she did win the official LFL Rookie of the Year, but for us, we know there was obviously only one winner, but Dakota Hughes showed this season how great she is in clutch situations, but unfortunately due to injury she didn't play in all of the games.
Yeah, I mean, it was unfortunate because of the injury, but you can definitely see the talent and the progression that she made just in this one season, and hopefully really big things to come from her in the future.
Absolutely. And another rookie I want to mention is part of the Las Vegas Sin, which they do seem to be building quite the team there. I know, we've mentioned it in previous podcasts, how if they could hang on to Danica Brace, they've certainly got a big squad developing around her, or a very talented squad developing around her, with running back Marquis Henderson, who definitely showed some burst this year and also some power.
This versatile back in the LFL is even greater a resource than in the NFL, because there's so fewer pieces around. So therefore, having the running back who can both run, block, and catch is quite a difficult mix to find someone with all three skill sets.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And the winner of our Rookie of the Year is
Cindy Cummins, quarterback, Las Vegas Sin.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations, Cindy. I think personally, and I believe Marcus agrees, hence why you've won our award, that you were robbed of the Rookie of the Year award just because of the success of the team. And it's not always about how great the team necessarily does around you, because individual effort should also be appreciated. This season, we know she did not throw a single interception in four games, 10 touchdowns, and just her play all year with recognising when receivers were going to come open. There was a great clip on YouTube that one of the fans had taken from one of the games. I think it definitely was against Seattle, where Marquis Henderson, they've got a single safety high in Jessica Hopkins. Marquis uses her speed, manages to get behind Hopkins, but as soon as Marquis breaks and before she's even put her hand in the air, you can see that Cindy's recognised the breakaway and the ball's in the air, and it resulted in a great touchdown. So again, on behalf of myself and Marcus and everyone here at LFL Talk, I think we should get some clapping and cheers going for our Rookie of the Year, Cindy Cummins. Before we move on to our offensive and defensive players, I think now is a good time to move on to our Mike Webster Award for Offensive Lineman of the Year. An award they don't necessarily have, well, we know they don't have as part of the LFL awards, but for those who listen to any of the podcasts that myself and Marcus do, you'll know how we harp on all the time about how the game is won and lost in the trenches, and the same can be said for the LFL as well. With that said, our winner of our Mike Webster Award for Offensive Lineman of the Year goes to Hallie Jiskra of the Chicago Bliss. Marcus, what can you say about Hallie's season?
It's been a phenomenal season for Hallie. I mean, coming over to the Bliss, best move she ever made. And really, she's got the versatility as well, because, of course, you have to have, I've just mentioned actually a while ago about having players having multiple skill sets. And the fact is, with offensive linemen having to play both receivers and blockers, it's difficult to get someone to actually be able to utilise both as well. And the fact is, Hallie has the ability to open up the running game for Christo Harris. You see how having Hallie and the rest of the offensive line there being so solid as they are allows Christel to do so well. So really, they all perfectly gel, and all those skills really come up. And I think her coming into Chicago, has allowed them to hold on and really build a great team into the championship team.
And back-to-back winning championship teams as well. So obviously plenty of talk about Chicago forming another dynasty at the moment with two out of two Legends Cup victories. So I know it's obviously a bit early to say, but, you know, Marcus, do you want to put any money or a friendly wager on Chicago winning the trifecta?
Oh, I don't know about that, because, of course, we don't know what can happen, because they might swap the league around. We might have a new team come in, a new franchise. We are going to have a new franchise because Washington's coming in next year. But it's really exciting to see. I'm not going to put any money on it now, but maybe our pre-season podcast, I might just be throwing some chips about.
I think I can allow that. We'll allow that to wait till the pre-season show for sure.
I get away with that one, do I?
Yeah, just, you know, I'm feeling generous. You know, it's nearly Christmas, you know, so why not? Next up, Marcus, which direction shall we head?
Well, we've just talked about O-line, so shall we go back and do defense?
Absolutely, take it away.
Okay, so honourable mentions this year. Our first honourable mention, the defensive player of the year, goes, of course, to Danica Brace. From what she brings to the team, the dynamic, of course, and just her playability and intensity, of course, the fire that she brings to that defense. What do you think, Adri?
Absolutely. And I think, as much of a fan as I am of Lily Granson, I think you're just the same when it comes to Danica Brace, if I'm honest. But you can see why, though. I mean, you only have to watch how her teammates are around with her to see the respect she commands whenever she's on the field of play. And not to mention, she's always involved in pretty much every tackle. Her sideline to sideline movement is exactly what you would expect from a middle linebacker. And she's always playing hurt like a great leader does, really.
Inspiring and performing.
100%. And I know it could have been her last season last year. Obviously, only she knows whether she will come back to the league or not. But if she doesn't come back, what a great player she's been for the league and a true icon.
Yes, agreed. Absolutely agree.
So the next person I think deserves an honourable mention is Jessica Hopkins, safety for the Seattle Mist, mainly for her turnovers this year. I mean, she had a few interceptions, in fact. Rather than just saying a few, she had 3 interceptions in 4 games and 2 touchdowns. Not to mention the fumble recovery for a touchdown she did have, I believe, against Chicago as well. And one of the interceptions was just an incredibly fantastic and, to coin a phrase, sick one-handed interception. So for me, 100% deserves an honourable mention for being such a game changer for Seattle this year.
Yeah, she's quite dynamic in that role. And again, her abilities to perform it are just fantastic. Natural ball hawking abilities, and she can just know where she has to be to prevent the big play and sort of, if not create the interception, then at least stop the play from happening.
Indeed. Now, we'll just finish off with a couple of other honourable mentions, and uncannily, they play for Marcus's proclaimed best defense in the league, and that is one Kim Perez. I feel that we can't really talk about the Chicago defense without talking about again everything she brings to the field, and also Dominique Collins, who this year for me just came out of nowhere. I was not expecting her to play as well as she did, and particularly towards the crux end of the season.
If we really wanted to wind up producer Mark, we could almost go for the entire Chicago defense for an honorable mention, but we're not going to do that.
I think we just did.
We didn't actually say it in those words, so I think we kind of technically get away with it.
I don't know. I guess we're about to find out whether we get away with it or not.
All right. Cue the bing bong producer calling now.
Yes, this is the producer speaking. Nice try, guys. Technically trying to twist the words around a little bit to try and make it sound as though you're not including half the team, but it didn't work, so no, I'm not letting it go this time. Thank you.
Yep, yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't think we got away with that one, did we really? Okay, so this is incredibly awkward, I'm not going to lie. So perhaps, Marcus, you should help us out by giving us our Mr.
Ray Lewis
Award winner.
Our Mr.
Ray Lewis
Award winner goes to an absolutely outstanding defensive player. Another one of these characters who performs week in, week out. It's a heart of the team, of that defense, rather ironically. It goes to Teresa Petrozello of the Omaha Heart. What a fantastic year and what a great fit she is into that team.
Absolutely. I'm almost lost for words in ways to describe Teresa Petrozello and how amazing she is on defense. Again, she's similar to Hopkins. If you need an interception to be made, she'll go up and make it. And when it comes to tackling, she's another one that just, well, form tackle to say the least. She hits hard, she hits well, and I don't know that I've ever seen her either miss a tackle or have someone break a tackle from her.
Exactly. She's got that defensive mind, reading the offense, because, of course, she plays both sides of the ball. So maybe that helps with her understanding how the offensive player is going to try and beat her. But still, it comes down to just amazing ability, natural ability to play the game. And I think she's really found herself a niche there in Omaha. And I think with what they built on the back of the end of the season, with her as the centrepiece leading the defense, yeah, I'd have to say that there's definite improvement coming along then. I think you're going to see more from her and she's going to bring out more of that team in years to come.
Absolutely. And when you look at it here, barring obviously the two playoff games that Chicago had, she did lead the league in tackles after four games with 26 tackles and also had an interception as well, which just goes to show you her coverage of the field. That brings us then on to our final award of the year, and that is our award. And as always, we are going to start with some honourable mentions. We're going to start with another powerhouse running back, and that is Sage Steinmetz of the Jacksonville Breeze, who also coincidentally did win the league MVP. Marcus, what can you say about her season?
Figured that what she'd bring to the table would be phenomenal. And really, it's just how they've developed the system around there to allow the best potential to come out. She seems to just relish the opportunity because, of course, she plays both sides as well. One of these players who, is it from playing both sides of the ball, she knows how best to utilise the ability she's got, would you say? I'm not sure I'm phrasing this the best way. I don't think I'm selling this.
Maybe you should try harder. Let's have a little game break, as it were, just to bring in the fact that over the course of three games, because of course they had one less game this year, she had 305 yards and six touchdowns, so averaging 100 yards plus a game.
Absolutely, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, again, because we talk about the fact that they only play on a 50-yard pitch as well.
Each game, that means striving the length and twice over of the entire field, and you have to put it into it that the fact is that you have to have a natural ability to sort of dominate that much in the run game.
We could talk about her for quite a while, but I think only fair to come on to our other honourable mentions, including Marquis Henderson, who we mentioned previously in the Rookie of the Year. Another running back, and I won't spend too much long talking about it, but just mention-wise, Carmen Bourceau, who made the move out to LA this year, was a great asset for that team. And also, before I come on to any more you may have, I want to give a special and honourable mention to the Canadian import playing in Seattle, and that was Stevie Schnoor, another running back who went into beast mode absolutely when she needed to, and at times really carried that offense.
With all the offensive troubles and maybe uncertainties, it's nice to have that solid core running back where you just know you can just hand the ball off. And she was getting a good sort of 6-7 yards a carry. So with that dependency, it's nice to know that you have someone who can just lighten the load in that instant.
Indeed. So now we come on to the award winner, and that is Christelle Ferrari Harris. I mean, how can she not win the Megatron Award this year? I mean, all you have to do is just look at her stats for the year, and it's included the playoff games in these as well, but six games, 621 rushing yards, 13 rushing touchdowns. And if you add on to the fact that she was averaging 23.5 yards a game in receptions and added on another four receiving touchdowns. So in total, 17 touchdowns in six games. Mind blowing. So nearly three touchdowns a game.
Yeah, and you have to look at it at that. You're sitting there, you say 17, right? You say 17 touchdowns. That's over 100 points on the scoreboard.
Well, yeah, that is just... Well, it's unbelievable. There's no other word to describe it, is there? Just goes to show how important she is to that Chicago offense and how great a player she is that all the teams in the league couldn't stop her this year.
Again, it goes down to the fact is that Chicago knows how to use the system. The fact is, when you have a talent, you have to know how to use it. And the fact is that Christelle knows how to run. She knows how to get downfield. She knows how to also utilize herself in the pass game. She's got sure hands. You know that you're going to throw the ball to her. You've got an easy completion. And, of course, you can break down the field. Breaking tackles galore. I mean, they don't keep that stat for us, unfortunately, like they do in the NFL with like how many broken tackles, but numerous double digits at least. And she had that ability to be so elusive. And when you consider that she's a big, strong, powerful running back, she's not one of the smaller, nippier ones. She's the one that's going to hit you square in your mouth and put you on the floor.
Yeah, and with that said, dear LFL, please can we have a yards after contact stat line? Thank you very much. don't think there's any more to say there. I mean, want to congratulate all of our winners. So, Christelle Ferrari-Harris, Teresa Petrozello, Hallie Jiskra, and Cindy Cummings, all of our award winners this year. Congratulations, ladies. You've had a fantastic season, and we look forward to seeing what you can achieve on the field next year. Now, just to finish off the award section, want to ask you, Marcus, for maybe one or two of your plays of the year.
Well, one of my plays of the year is definitely going to have to be the Dakota Hughes bomb in overtime. That was edge of the seat stuff.
That was to Jody Nettles, right?
Absolutely. It was, for me, it's the moment that makes you stand up and take notice.
Yeah, 100%. And one of my plays of the year, I've mentioned it a couple of times, I believe, already in the show, so apologies for that. But that one-handed interception from Jessica Hopkins, for me, just unbelievable. So we'll leave that there. And, you know, if you want to let us know what you think your plays of the year were, remember...
Hey, guys, if you want to get a hold of Audrey or Marcus, send them an email at ballhawksnest@gmail.com.
And finally, just to finish off the awards segment, I'm going to put a link to this in the show notes, but it would not be fair of us to go through the show without mentioning the first Hall of Fame inductee for the LFL this year was none other than Los Angeles Temptation superstar Monique Gaxiola. I will put the induction in the show notes, which I strongly recommend everybody watch. We could go on for hours talking about how great Mogax is, but just, you know, have a look yourselves. Marcus, a great honour for her, and a three-time champion in America, a one-time champion in Australia. Could we really see anyone else becoming the first inductee into the Hall of Fame?
No, I think she was definitely a great recipient of such an honour, and great to see such an establishment being set up in the LFL to honour those who have committed the time, the effort, the determination and willpower to make something of this. So absolutely credited there.
Yeah, 100%. Player recognition is the one thing we strive for, I think, in this league. And it's great to know that the Hall of Fame has been set up to recognise the outstanding players. And we'll see who goes into it next year, whether it be maybe another player we've had the joy of interviewing on the show, or maybe even one of the coaches. Who knows? We'll wait to be seen next year. So that concludes our annual awards.
Spanhead Productions are a small independent sound recording company based in rural Hertfordshire. We specialise in creating content for all your podcasting needs, whether it be field recordings, Fox Pops, or capturing the atmosphere during social events. Editing is a very time-consuming job, so Spanhead Productions are on hand to take away some of the burden for you. Just advise us on how you'd like your content to sound, and we will do the rest. We can even help you design and manage a website for your podcast too. Visit us now, Spanhead Productions. That's spamheadproductions.weebly.com.
That also now wraps us up for another episode of LFL Talk. Now, unfortunately, with the cancellation of the LFL Australia Season 2, I'm afraid that does mean sad news that it's going to mean the end of myself and Marcus on your airwaves with LFL Talk until we get into pre-season territory for LFL US next year, so around February, March time. Sad times, Marcus.
It doesn't quite feel right, does it?
No, it's going to be strange not having a league to talk about because, to be honest, it's become such a part of our lives these days, the LFL, tying it in with the NFL as well. It's just kind of, you know, it's our weekly watch all the way throughout the year. So very disappointed that we're not going to have the league in Australia. And also, unfortunately, very disappointed that we sadly have to say goodbye until February. So I think on that bombshell, it just remains for me to say, Marcus, as always, it's been an absolute blast, sir.
It's always fun. So much fun.
We are downloadable on iTunes. We are also on Stitcher Radio. And remember that our LFL Talk and Spitball latest episodes are also rebroadcast on the 1800 online network, a link to which can be found in the show. And finally, if you find yourself missing myself, Marcus, the podcast, or even if you want to be involved in some way or have some kind of input in the show, then remember,
hey guys, if you want to get a hold of Audrey or Marcus, send them an email at fowlhawksnest@gmail.com.
And until next time, football fans and LFL fans, stay safe, take care, and thanks for stopping by.